What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the DeQuisto Series podcast. Today, we're going to talk about whitetail preparation, but on a different wavelength. We're going to talk about physical and mental preparation. Looking aside from your typical in-the-woods scouting, running trail cameras, all that sort of stuff, you can have the best gear, the best intel, the best postseason scouting session, the best piece of ground. And if you aren't in the right place mentally, it don't mean a damn thing. I get a lot of inquiries on a regular basis regarding my fitness routine and why I work out so much and if I believe it gives me an edge when hunting. And I do believe it does. But why I think it helps might be a little different than you think. On that note, let's dive into some preparation.
There you have it. That is really getting jacked up.
So it triggered kind of a little idea that somebody had put a post out and they said, what is this sport? Is it more of a physical game or is it a mental? I'm going to say there's more mental stress in this game than there is physical, for me anyhow, or when I was younger, because obviously I was a world-class athlete and shit, so, well, maybe not, but I was in pretty good shape back in the day. Yeah. But it's still, I could be mentally beat and still have the physical ability to go, but it was over. Once the mental game was trashed, it was just over.
I think the mental game is super important. I think they're both important. They're both important aspects. I would have to agree. I would have to think, just really thinking about it, and it would definitely come down to mental, because even if you were completely out of shape but your mind was in it, yeah, you'd make it happen.
Yeah.
Look at these guys who go on elk hunts or something, got no business being in the mountain, and they got the mind set,
That was going to be my point. You stole it. But anyhow, back in the day, elk hunting, the first day on, people want to try and get in shape for elk hunting. And I talked to numerous guys that were big-time elk hunters, way bigger than I was back in the day. And they said, you can do all you want to get in shape, and you never really hit the mountains in shape. It happens then, but a point I wanted to make is I've gone out first day tied in the elk. We're not even acclimated to the elevation. Got on a screaming bulls and good bulls, and I climbed a mountain, and then I lost track of them at the top, and I looked back to where I got, not even winded. It was all adrenaline, no physical. It was all a mental game. It was nothing to do with physical. As a matter of fact, I got more tired out walking back down the mountain to where the trucks were parked than that journey up. So let's take that toward whitetail. It could be the same.
Well, same thing. And actually, so I get one of the biggest questions I get. People know, that I'm a fitness nut, and they always see pictures of me working out and stuff, and they always ask, or for programs, or what sort of program do I do that helps me in the whitetail woods, or do I think that all this training helps me whitetail hunt? And I say yes, but not in the physical aspect. So what I've gotten from fitness over the years and competing in bodybuilding, that's as mental as it gets. I think it's more so the repetition of a workout routine and something that you have to kick yourself in the ass to do all the time on a consistent basis and not skip out. I think that transfers to hunting more than the actual physical.
So I'll bring back a point. So this was back a few years ago, and you might get pissed at me for bringing this up. And I think you were still bodybuilding back at that time. I seen you in the woods, and you were good shape then, and you were fucking shot. Trash. Remember that time you were basically staring out like you didn't even know what your next move was going to be on that white tail? You were just
gone, man. I don't recall.
I'm like, what's? You were shot, dude.
What are we talking about?
Mentally. You were looking. You were out of options. You didn't know what your next move. You were playing cat and mouse.
Were we together?
No.
What was
we never
happening?
Hunt together. You were out
I'm
there.
I'm saying, where were we that I was? Oh, I was just sitting there contemplating.
You were freaking shot looking over.
So I'm just sitting out in the field, and you come up.
And here's the bit of advice I gave to you. What happened was you were on a buck, you were close to him, and then it got into that damn rut when now all your moves you were making made sense to cut him off. And then I basically said to you, you know what? you were on the game, but he's not in the game anymore. Now that's over, and you can think all you want for this next week. You just need to get into funnels, spots that you could kill him, and hope the hell he goes through there because that was over. And you were still trying to think it out mentally. I mean, you look like a zombie out there, dude.
Yeah. I mean, I don't.
But there's the point I made. You were physically still in shape, but mentally you were just depleted and freaking trashed. So, back to it. I was always physically fit too young, and here's what drove me. So let's say you are working out now. Guys are all CrossFit and are working out, getting ready for next year. A lot of guys I talk to on the pages on Facebook are literally, that's their game plan. And these guys run around putting all these miles on. We talked about, you're running around like a chicken with your head chopped off. When you are working out now for then, and you're getting into the where you're like depleted energy because you're on your last reps or whatever, if you're like a lot of these nuts are, 80% of the guys are whitetail nuts, and you're thinking about hunting while you're doing that, that's going to kick back in, believe it or not, 6 months later. And this was training with pole vault, and I did and follow the Russians, actually, Olympic athletes. They literally mentally are thinking about at that point of time when their body's depleted that in the fall when you're scouting and you're running out of juice, all this shit kicks in mentally that you start getting adrenaline. So here's the point taken. These guys don't scout. When I scout and I find, I don't care how shot I am, how out of shape I am, when I find a red hot sign, I start going on adrenaline, dude. All of a sudden it's you're excited about an animal or a deer and it's a whole different game. It's not physical anymore. It's all mental. So
yeah, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things I want to dive into from those statements. But now, you know, you kind of went back and forth there. So
yeah.
you were talking about physical training and preparing your body and mind in that state of training.
Yeah. So what I was getting at on that, so let's say while you're in your last reps, you're wiped out at the end of the day. In that state of physical being, you're thinking about a buck you're going after next year, and now it literally almost like now when you're after that buck in the season and you're out of juice and you're on your last leg physically, I think that kicks in. Meant you've been there before. You know what I'm saying? You've trained for this game where most guys, you know, you come in cold off the bench, you're going to get wiped out, right? And I constantly think about whitetail all year long. So I think a lot of guys aren't the same mindset. So what are you thinking about when you work out?
Well, so
are you thinking about whitetail or are you thinking about other things?
No, I don't think about whitetail when I work out. But I've had conversations with people who looked at me like I was fucking insane when I told them about visualization and thoughts becoming things and like thinking things to happen and willing. And I think it's a little deep for most to kind of conceptualize, but that's a huge part in all this. And I don't think a lot of people even break the surface.
I don't see why guys would think that is insane.
I really don't think that so many people out there, it's never even crossed their mind. Like, that's how far beyond it is for them. And
I just had a wild thought. So I don't know when you were a kid, if you did that. So when we were a kid, do you remember the story about the little engine who could? That was beating your mind about if you think you can do
yeah,
it and
I
you
think
will
I
it,
can. I
it's
think
gonna
I can.
Happen. And if you can't do it, so that was everybody should be
well, there's,
in that mindset.
There you know, and there's so many things you hear and you know, like verbal speaking and you
yeah,
know,
see, I didn't know that.
Yeah, like as far as, you know, like I will complete this mission, stuff like that. Like, you know, when it's out there and it's said, it becomes, you know, something, and then it's got a life and all that. But more so, you know, even the will and all that is mental. It's hard to explain because even, and this is getting off the topic of fitness, but setting up a stand, manipulating an area, and literally seeing it all happen and playing it all out over and over for that exact thing, that exact situation to then happen. It's like fishing, right?
Oh.
You're dragging that over. You're visualizing what you think the structure is looking like on the bottom of the water.
Well,
you're dragging that bait over. And in your mind, you're seeing it all happen. And then you know that spot you're going for, and you can almost count it down. And it's happened.
Yeah.
It, like, I mean, We've both done it in the boat. You know, yeah. All right, this is going to be a fish. You know, it's
with the deer just over the years, tons of times it all plays out exactly the way I thought it would be. But I'm reading sign and knowing what's going to happen type of thing. So,
and that's the thing. But even so, and I think a lot of people don't get into that. But when you get to a point to where, you know, I always said this too, and I mentioned this in a podcast about you a long time ago. And this, I remember as a kid, that's where I strive to be. I don't know what deer you killed that year or whatever, but I remember I was talking to somebody in the shop, and I don't know who it was, but somebody in the shop we were working, he's like, hey, he's like, you think your dad's going to get that deer? And I remember saying, like, so quickly, like, it's not if he's going to get it, it's when he's going to get it. So, and it was, that's just, so that was, you know, it was always kind of my thought process. I never... It was like there wasn't a question, right? And that's how I enter the woods. Like, every year, I know I'm going to get the job done. Like, right. that's the mindset that I have in. It's just a matter of when it's going to happen.
Right. In my mindset, I know I'm going to get a crack at a deer, but I don't know if I'm going to get it. Because sometimes, you know, there's a lot of shit that's got to happen between getting a crack.
And now you're talking a deer. I'm talking a season.
Yeah.
So there's...
Oh, for the season.
Yeah, okay. I'm saying, like, when I go into the... to the woods at the beginning of the year, and this is where mental comes into play too, in the long haul, in the long game, and late in the year, there is never a doubt in my mind that I'm going to succeed throughout the year. It's never there.
Right.
I'm going to make it happen. And some of my best years have happened the last 4 days because it's just that, you know, you almost do better under pressure. And when you have that, when you have the thought in your mind that you can't fail and you need to do it, you end up doing, like, you will do it. You'll
so here's
a
good
way.
Point, now that you brought, maybe a lot of guys don't get to where we're at. And there's a lot of guys out there that get to where we're at. And what I mean by that is that they're after a specific deer, a certain deer. And a perfect example was the deer that you shot last year, you had to have a whole new feeling of that hunt for those. You were onto them, you're hunting them. That can't feel like any other buck with it being the biggest buck of your life and you know, world-class buck going after him. If you're just going out to fill a tag, an average-type buck, maybe you don't get into that zone where you get – it starts all to become adrenaline and just – you're so pumped up, man, you know, you just go for it.
Well, I think you can get it. It's the laser focus, and if the goal is just to get out on this piece of ground and kill a 140, then, like – I still think you can have the same focus with that goal. You know, there's things.
But how could you get that high? How that?
Well, you might not get the same. I don't think you get the same high from it, and I don't think you get the same accomplishment, like, of beating a certain animal or setting, because it's harder to hold out. There's a lot of things that make that.
To me, that's like the opening height of a vault. It's like.
Well, you can go in
for. Not no excitement there yet, but when you get.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You can go into that opening vault with the. With that same mentality of crushing it and then, you know, be satisfied when you get it, but it's not going to be the same as when you get a PR. Yeah. And when you've trained for that PR or you know, I don't know, I guess
or
it's
you
a little
smash
different.
A record or whatever, you win first place or whatever it is, but...
Yeah, and where I think... So, not that I don't think people are getting to that level or that place with hunting a specific deer, I think, and this is where training comes into play, this is where I relate it to training... Not physical strength. I'm a strong dude. You know, I got good endurance. It's not that pushes you through. It's the real strength that I attribute from competitive bodybuilding or any sort of routine that you see through is the grind of that routine itself. It's not even about it's not even about the weightlifting.
Okay, so you use the word grind then. So that's what I was getting at. As you're working out now and you're in that grind toward when you're pushing yourself, if you were thinking about, and I guess maybe I'm always thinking about a deer that's like bigger than ever shot. So I'm
and that's a whole different, what you're talking about is a whole different stream. These are both really good ways to look at training. And I think they've both been done on large scales. So what you're doing is you're adapting your actual physical training directly to whitetail hunting because you're you know,
and I didn't do it on purpose. That was just because that's all I thought about back when I was working out.
Yeah.
Or when I was going to church or whatever the hell I was
doing. Yeah, it can be strategic, though, right. too. Like, you know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe.
For a guy who's looking to be a better hunter, though, and he's getting into a weight program, that's his motivation.
Right.
See, for me, I was always, my motivation was the task at hand in the fitness realm.
That's what I'm,
it okay. was a bodybuilding. Yeah, it was a bodybuilding competition.
That's
I
what
visualized
I'm saying about.
Myself.
So now all these guys are out. You were doing it for the competition. Now yep. they're doing it for
whitetail hunting.
Yeah. So now yep. you're thinking about that deer. I mean, that's got to get you into the zone.
Yep.
And here's the point taken. So now I'm older. I'm not in as good a shape. I don't work out to get up through the season. I get in shape while doing all the scouting, walking every day. And my body hurts. I'm in pain all year. And when the season comes, dude, I'm on a good deer. It all goes away.
But
it's all adrenaline.
And here's
it's all
the thing,
mental.
Though. But here's what I ask. What about when there's not a good deer? What keeps you grinding? I think, personally, this is where I think it matters. Anybody can be on a big buck and be jacked up. How many of you guys can get out there and grind that shit out without seeing anything and go the distance?
Okay.
That's where I
think. I'm going to give you a good story on that. You like stories. Justin's out here. He's hunting that last year. I got the target buck I wanted from last year. I had scouted early. I got this spot that this deer, I call it the belly of the beast on our property, was going up, and I had a preset stand in there, and I was waiting for the ideal conditions to dive in. I was so pumped the deer was back, just fired up. I dive in. I get in there. I'm set up. Sun's breaking, and here comes that son of a bitch. I was so pumped. I got my goal I'm after. This is the one I want is payback. I shaved the belly off from last year. I was at such a freaking mental high, like even like after you kill deer, right? Thing comes up the freaking mountain. It's going to be like a five-yard shot straight over the back, straight down, and it's missing 20 inches of freaking antler, and I was freaking crushed. Let him walk. Let them go. Beautiful weather. It's getting into a good time of the season. And I sat there in such a freaking, from such a high to such a depression because there was no other buck on the property to hunt. And I'm like, what the frick am I going to do now? There's not, you know, it's over. It was here and now it's there. It was the worst freaking experience of my life. But there's how you talk about going from mental high to a low.
So
most guys would just go follow, you know, after the next.
Yeah, but with that being said, I know that, and this is the point I was trying to make, which that was a little off course. But now after that, you kept hunting, and
yep.
you kept at it.
And I got into
it. You didn't sleep in. You didn't not go out. You didn't even though you knew, or you were pretty confident that was the deer. And this is what people are lacking.
That's from training of years of just been doing
exactly.
that.
Exactly. It's from training, and it's from you being in the game
you
now.
Know, wipe your tears off, pull your boots up, and get your ass back in the game and go freaking try and win it.
And that's what I'm trying to get at. So if you, let's say, like, you know, and this is where training and competition training, and even though if it's not for whitetail hunting, you know, the gruesome grind of a dedicated program that you do not fuck off on, that you see through to the end,
mm-hmm.
that right there will do more for your whitetail hunting, I believe, than a lot, than 90% of other stuff. Because what it does is it forges your mental capacity to get your ass out of bed, to go out there, to keep doing what you know you need to do.
Can that be a trained thing, or is that something that someone just inherently is born with?
That's a debate. I mean,
I was thinking about a kid that I read on the page, Mobile Hunter. He's one of our guys. I wish I could think of his name. And I read the story. This dude has been hunting public land for 10 years and has not harvested. Do you remember that story?
No, I didn't.
10 years and shot his first nice buck on public. That dude is a winner 10 times over. As far I would have never stuck it out. I'd have moved on. I would have just freaking found a new spot to hunt, and the kid just stuck to the grind and got it done. That's got to be the most rewarding freaking kill that anybody ever get. I don't have the balls to do that. Sorry, but there you go. There's the dude that was in the zone.
I don't know this particular story, and I don't know the variables of it or the details, but the general concept that I'm speaking of is when you force yourself to do things that are uncomfortable and to do things that you don't want to do at certain times, and diet is very crucial to this too. Diet can really, and I know you're probably rolling your eyes here, but just the concept of dieting is a mental forger right there. Being able to take, I mean, these foods nowadays are so addictive, and anything that you get in a rhythm to not do that and not eat that, and to then go beat yourself up, and then when you're in a state of just exhaustion and hunger to not.
Yeah, I don't do that.
I'm just saying, but like that right there, that is mental training to the max. And I always look at hunting like that, and I attribute some of that, even though nothing is correlated at the times. But when the season's here, I know it's go time, and I know that it just like a contest prep. This is going on for this long. The season don't end until January 12th.
Right.
And we're going until January 12th. That's how it is. You know,
and we're prepping now. We're still prepping now for that game. That's,
and so many people I talk to will be in the middle of the season, and they'll be just burnt. I mean, they're going hard for 7 days or a week or every weekend. And it amazes me, and not to, you know, get on anybody, but it amazes me how many people they get so petered out so quick.
Oh, yeah. But like, so now that's the point I really wanted to make in this whole endeavor. Guys, preseason scout now, I know that's big. They look at sign now, and I always say, you know, well, one of my buddies just said, man, I just was out looking for sheds, and man, over that hill was, you know, hot spot. If you'd have been out during the season and found a hot spot, you'd have been on it. When I go during the season and nothing's going on, and I go poking around, and I find some really good sign, man, it just – as beat as I am, I'm not beat anymore. All of a sudden, I'm up, I'm gone. More than once, a couple of buddies have said that flyer buck in Illinois. You know, they seen the gleam in my eyes. It was a preset stand. I knew where I was going. I bumped him out of there. I'm going back to kill him. I didn't know I'd kill him. You know, one of my buddies looked at me and said, "You're gonna have that deer on the ground in 2 days." I said, "What are you talking about? You're gonna have it down in two days?" And that deer was on the ground in 2 days because it was like those spots where you get into where you really know you've done work, you know that's going to happen, there's where he's betting, and now it's a matter of just delivering a package. How many times have you been on post that you knew you were killing a deer that morning or getting your opportunity? For me, and I don't even kill them. Dozens of times I'll set up, read the sign, and a deer comes through, and maybe I don't kill him, but I know I'm going to see him. I'm picturing it happening, you know?
No, I've called out, definitely called out kills many a times, and even, you know, and opportunities. And I think that's a combination of getting comfortable with what you found out from reading the sign, setting proper stand locations, and then just knowing, like, I'm, you know, and those things come with time, I think.
Doing the work, yeah.
You know, I mean, I was talking to somebody about this the other day too. You know, we had a conversation, and a lot of these new hunters, you know, everybody's trying to figure it out right away. And I mean, you can get pretty dialed in pretty quick, but you know, the guy asked me, you know, how many deer have you killed? And I'm like, oh man, I don't know the exact number, but, and we start talking about this, and I said, you know, when you, there's things you just don't get and that take a long time. Think about, so not only killing deer, but your experiences, and like, you know, once you've, no matter what that is, once you've killed 20, 30 deer, you start to learn things, right? Like, there more than if you only had encounters and killed two deer. And time in the timber is huge, and even in all aspects. Like I mentioned, I said, you know, your knowledge on just tracking alone, tracking a hit deer. I said to him, I said, you have no, I said, think about this. Not only has dad killed probably 60 plus 70 deer, you know, how many, you know how many deer he's tracked? You know how much knowledge is in the head of this guy?
Are you calling me a hack?
No. I'm saying, like over the course of time, the knowledge you pick up, where it's hit, what type of blood it leaves, like what type of hair you got, this. And I'm not talking about just you. I'm talking about buddies and just being in the field and just.
No, and I'm gonna say I am not as efficient of a hunter as a lot of these guys.
And I didn't mean that as
and it's not a bad, but here's where experience comes in. I got a lot of buddies who shot deer and didn't get them retrieved. Like you said, the amount. So I kill a deer a year or two deer a year. I might have tracked 4, 5, or 6 for friends and been in that game. And you, like you said, you learn that all. But that's part of what comes. So that's like taking a high school kid and putting them in the Super Bowl and letting them try and shine. You got to build a foundation. You got to kill some deer. You got to wound some deer. You got to learn to track some deer, and you got to make some mistakes. I don't know anybody who ain't making mistakes. Even some of the best hunters that I know all make mistakes. And it makes them a better. And that's a mental dude thing there.
Yeah. And you can do everything perfect. You can do everything perfect and still have to track a deer 200 yards and not find them.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we had just a couple years ago with a buddy of mine, we had to call a dog on that track job, and he smoked that thing. I mean, like center mass, that deer was dead. We just couldn't find him.
Yep.
He ran so hard, so fast, and it was so thick that. But what I meant was just, like you said with the Super Bowl analogy, that's perfect. Like you got to get your feet wet, and you got to get out there, and you got to do the shit. And the more you do it, the more you're going to learn, and the more that compounds, and you take all that stuff. But
Even with the class of deer that you shoot, so you harvest a few, you got some kills under your belt. Now you've killed some bigger deer. Now when it comes time for even a bigger deer, it's not something totally freaking new to you. You've been in that game. You've been in that situation. And if you're practicing in your mind mentally, you should have killed that buck 100 times over this year already. In your mind, you're all,
And
it happened.
And that's, in my little story that I wrote about this deer last year, I wrote that pretty close to that exact line. And I got a lot of personal messages from it, and people just, kind of liked it or whatever, but it was true. The statement, when it came time to make it happen, the whole drawing process, the shooting there wasn't any jitters, and there wasn't any sort of doubt, because I had done that every single day. 20 times a day, every night, it happened so much that it was like I wasn't even doing it. I was just, just hanging out.
And that comes
with
experience, because early on we've all been like that. We're like a new puppy trying to train. We're all wound up. We're fired up. We want to just try and get the pressure's on. You're trying to make that happen too early, and then maybe you make a mistake and shoot too early or draw too early. That was the biggest question over the years, how guys couldn't understand is, how do you know when to damn draw that deer? I always make a mistake on that. And I guess because I made a ton of mistakes earlier, and I watched the mannerism of the deer, and it just after years of
When I think of that, I think of hard lessons, like very hard lessons. And so many times getting cracked at that like where you had him killed. You had him killed. That's all you had to do is get that bow back. And I got busted many times. And
have you
now,
ever got the bow back early and had to hold on to it for like 3 minutes?
Well, and now I would say that's probably one of my strongest suits, and probably only because I screwed up so many times early on. Even that first 10-pointer I shot, you remember that time?
When
we had him dead to rights, that we were hunting together that day.
In Illinois, yep.
And I just –
No, I knew that was it. The light bulb went off that day.
And I remember, too, I remember thinking after this, I was pissed off because you could have easily coached me through when to draw.
Right.
But you didn't, and I remember I drew too soon, and I drew right in his peripheral. And he freaking – he bagged me, and he ran out. And then afterwards, I'm like, oh, what the – and I remember you just said, like – yeah, man, you ain't getting away with it in their peripheral vision like that. And I'm just like, fuck.
Do you know why that happened? So up to then, you were having some issues with knowing when to draw, and it happened in too slow a momentum. I seen what happened on that day. Everything happened quick. Remember, he started shagging does. You didn't have time to think about it. It was like second nature, man. That thing was on a move coming through. You got her back, and you smoked it. And ever since then, after that, it was like nothing but net. And matter of fact, you looked at me and said, man, I got this now. Like it was like you didn't get it before, and all of a sudden in one kill you got it. You got it, man. Let her rip.
You know, there's a lot of those little moments that you can pluck out, I think, throughout the time.
So I've had the two where I know Monster Buck screwed up a couple days left of the season, and from a total freaking confident, cocky high to total depression, and my buddy looks at me and says, what the hell's up, man? You got 2 days to kill this deer, and you're out of it. You're done.
Yeah.
And I basically said to him, looking right in the eye, and I says, because I know right now the only way I'm killing this deer now in the next 2 days is going to be luck, and I got no freaking luck. The skilled ambush, the surgical freaking thing was done. I blew it. And now how are you going to get lucky on a redo?
Man,
it don't happen. Man, I was done.
It
beat me.
It is truly like, you know, and this, everybody.
Still went back for the last 2 days, but I was mentally done.
It's like, you know, it's even like a fight, man. You look at, you see a fight going on, or you watch a boxing match or something, and you can tell when that one person is mentally defeated. Like, and that's those great fighters. They do that shit before the fight
even
happens.
And you can even see when a guy already is lost when he's starting to fight that he's
already. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like he lost before he even got in the ring. Yeah. That's how 90% of these people out there are hunting. They're so hesitant, and they're so, you know, and then they get burnt out so quick, and they're going too hard. And
well, it's got to be a frustrating deal with, you remember, it was frustrating for us just getting going. You're working all the time. You got little time to hunt. You don't know what you know. You know, you don't know what you don't know. You know, you start taking all these bits and pieces of information from other people that maybe don't work for you, and pretty soon you'll just keep at it. You'll get in your groove, and everybody's got their style of doing it, you know. So, but no, the so I'm going to say to me, mental, 100%.
Yeah.
It's a mental game more than it is a physical, this whitetail hunting.
I'd have to second that, and to whereas I think physical strength will help you out in certain cases. Like, I would encourage guys to work out and get in more physical shape. I do think that there's times when you're lacking that mental confidence that maybe being prepared physically will help you a little bit. And this too, I think has to do with where you're at. If you're looking at hunting a property where you have to, let's say, walk 3 to 4 miles total every time you want to hunt it, and you're a guy who can't handle walking a mile,
right.
I would probably suggest, you know, training a little bit, but
here's what I would go with that too. So, okay. So I was a guy that lost a lot of weight easily. Guys. Now I hear so many guys wanting to lose weight before the season. Dude, I think to myself, and they're only talking 10 pounds. I would go into that season with that 10 pounds on and run it off during the season, not come in lean and mean without the extra power. You know, I would try and gain weight and have some freaking, some meat behind you to get.
Well, there's, oh, man. So, for one, mental, you're relying on mental stamina heavily, and you're a guy that's already in shape. So, looking at a guy who doesn't really got it mentally and isn't really in shape,
right.
You know, I mean, so it's just like going into a competition, right?
Okay, so how do you find that fine line? So, and I'll go back to another account. I was in top physical shape, you know, working out. My buddy was big, heavy set guy. I destroyed him for the first 3 days in that. I was like a freaking all over the place. He was sucking air. By 3 days to six, I was sucking air.
And he acclimated?
Oh, man, he had all that freaking extra fat on. Finally started getting, you know, his second win. And I was out of juice, man. If I didn't eat something in the morning or keep eating or day, I was all out of energy.
Well,
so
yeah, but that's
but when you get into there, then what takes over then? It's all adrenaline. It's not not the physical shit anymore.
But if you're never in shape from the get go,
yeah, I wouldn't know how that is. So
like, and here's the thing, like, you know, let's say me, you, a couple other people, we're going to a piece of property that's going to take, you know, let's say we're going to some mountainous terrain, right? We're gonna go hunt the mountains, and there's gonna be a lot of walking, a lot of hiking, you know, a lot of. I know that you will have the mental game, even if the physical is not there, to get up and down those hills over and over for as long as we're gonna be there. I know that even if I am broke mentally, I will physically pull myself. I'll do it. There's a lot of people out there. If they didn't have either of those, they'd be screwed. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, and with the physical aspect, I think when you get into a, you can get a strong mental, that can help you. It can help your mental, if that makes sense.
Like, yeah.
So when you're physically capable to do things that other people can't, that makes you more powerfully mentally.
That's just like October, a lot of guys are just flat and dead through it because they're not seeing a lot of stuff. Get your ass down, look around. I'm just telling you, from 40 years of when you find the one you want to go after, and now you know you have that in the game, it just something goes off, and it's all adrenaline. It's you're a whole different person.
This is why people's jaw drops or jaws drop. A lot of times when they ask me what I'm doing now, what I'm doing through the summer, and they're always shocked to hear nothing and that I don't do it. And this is strategical. This is not by accident. It's not because I'm not into hunting as much as you are.
Right.
It's because I know exactly what I need to do, and there's so much of that adage like, there is no off season. There is no off season. Well, there's an off season for me.
Yeah, I'm fishing.
And this is strategic because it's just like you said about being too gassed up and burning yourself out early. I know that when October 1 hits or September 15th or whenever that gun fires off, I will go harder for longer than anybody out there.
Yeah.
And it's because that's my starting line. People, I think, just they bog themselves down so much and they get so jacked up on the old sign. They get so in depth. I was talking to a guy just yesterday who's he's doing so much homework right now, 6 months before he can even pick up a bow, and he'll continue to do that. And when that, I'll be
ready.
The only
thing I'm doing now is I like to geographically look at properties and when the leaves off and whenever.
And that's right now,
But I guess what I'm saying is I'm not saying don't do it if you enjoy it. I used to do it. Remember what I used to do after season? I did have a wind down period. Season was closed down, and I was so geared for four months out of every morning, every evening hunting. It's like a marathon guy. You just don't turn it off. So I grabbed my headphones, John Denver, and I'd go like some of these public grounds that I hunted after the season, deep snow, and I would just walk them and just keep learning a little more about the property and all that. Nothing to do with hunting for the next year. But enjoyed doing that, and it was my wind down period. Then I went into some trapping, some fox and stuff like that, and you can't just turn it off. And I can never turn. I mean, you're always thinking about whitetail, even when I'm out on a boat fishing for muskies. I'm thinking about the season coming up. So, So I'm gonna say mental for me. Come into it in shape, but get ready to be crushed mentally because this is a stressful game.
Yeah, there's no doubt that both mental and physical preparation for a whitetail season are crucial. I think having that perfect blend is probably going to be your optimal bet, but no doubt if you are not in it mentally, you're not. I mean,
you could be as in great shape as you want, and you're just not going to.
This is a marathon, not a sprint. Go in prepared for all 10 rounds.
Like the old bull, young bull
you gotta
scenario,
be.
Man.
Well, you got to be ready to rock.
Don't go running on down there. Just walk on down and go at it and get it done. So, Cody will probably work out for the season. I'm going to put some weight on before this one. I'm going to try and come in at 210.
You know, I will say coming into the season light is not good for the colder months.
No.
There's been times where I've entered seasons coming off a competition, and I froze my ass off.
There's a good point with we didn't even – taken effect with this conversation, whether the mental capacity to sit in that cold weather, get your ass out of bed in the dark, freeze is that's all mental.
Yeah,
that's not
physical.
A physical deal, man. And that's where the game is won, I think.
I get that all the time. Well, how do you only wear this? How do you stay warm? I'm like, I just know, like, sometimes I get cold, but it's a mind over matter thing. I know how long I'm going to be out there. I know, when I'm going to get down, and that's in my mind, it's just one
of
those
things. Yeah, this is going somewhere. I thought this would be a good you told me that. I'm a big sugar eater, and that instant sugar is absolutely no good. So what I've been doing, you know what I eat in the morning now is I take a bowl of
oatmeal,
where you literally, you're not a quick sweat and hot deal. It long term, it kicks
so
in.
It's
and it
a long burn.
It keeps you warm instead of that. I go out pumped with that high sugar, and then, like you said, I'd freeze my ass off for the rest of the day.
Yeah, you know, even people don't realize, too, but when you're cold, even eating something, getting your metabolism fired up, getting moving, like, that warms you up. But, yes, that those heavy foods, dense foods, oatmeals and stuff that are going to last for a while are...
Brad was an all-day sitter, and I remember he'd get out, and at even before he didn't need the meal, I think at about 9, he'd pull out a freaking meat sandwich. You know, I like bread with a little piece of meat in it. I'm talking... I'm like, dude, what are you going to do with that sandwich? He downs that thing.
It's just the body needs to work
and
to break that stuff
down.
Yeah,
and it warms him up, and he's good for the day, he said. So, man, that's insane. A meat sandwich. There's the key.
We'll get more into the mental state of things later. Yeah. I got some things that I think would be crazy next level that we could dive into. But any last thoughts for this one?
Yeah, I think so. For me, it's always been, you know, I think all night. I don't sleep. My mind's always working, and I think it's always worked through whitetail hunting, business, and my life. So maybe that's just the mindset I'm in, but I would think that people would start trying that. Like I said, they've had training on it. This year, think about it. Start picturing your success all through the summer, all up to the season, and you might be surprised, man. You might play that thing out right during the season and kill the buck of your life or miss it.
There you go.
All right.
See you next time.